Custer residents celebrate the Burning Beetle Festival each January, and each year the celebration evolves. This week you can join in a celebration of a different sort in Custer. Chris Pelzarski and Crystal Hagerfeld are joining us on the phone now from Custer for a preview of an October 13th fundraiser at the Custer Beacon. Chris Pelzarski, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you.
How's the climbing and caving going in where you're at? What's the weather like?
Well, you know, the weather's always the same underground, so that's great. But climbing, you know, not so much. We're in between rock and ice climbing season right now.
All right. When does ice climbing season start? I mean, I'm sure it depends, but what in general, when do you get ready for it?
Yeah, I would say, you know, a month or so in the Black Hills.
All right. Crystal, welcome. Thanks for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start a little bit about this upcoming fundraiser. What's happening, Chris, on October 13th? Get us started.
Yeah, so we have at the Custer Beacon, which is a brand new music venue and event center, community space in Custer. We're hosting a fundraiser with the Custer Area Arts Council for a new art piece being installed this winter called Vigilance.
Give us an idea of what the event is like first, and then we'll talk about Vigilance itself.
You bet. So at noon on Sunday, we are going to be having music from Alan and Jill Kirkham. We're going to be having games going on, a pool tournament, a raffle, all leading up to at 4 o'clock. We have the JAS Quintet coming on stage, great jazz quintet with Jamie Lynn as well. And just a fun day of community coming together.
Crystal, tell us a little bit about this project and what the fundraiser is for.
Sure. So the Custer Area Arts Council and the Bark Beetle Blues started the Burning Beetle about 6 years ago. January will be our seventh annual. And what we've kind of decided to do with this festival to grow it is find a large public community sculpture that was kind of a monument to our artistic response to the pine beetle infestation and our artistic lasting response to what the burning beetle means to our community. So we did an RFP and we did a national search, and we chose Jared Kapp from Pangea Design Studios and Spearfish to come up with a large scale sculpture for us. And it's called Vigilance. It's kind of a good effigy to everything that our community has come together and forest management, education, and things like that. And we just want something for the town. It's going to have a time capsule in it. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of something to commemorate this infestation and how our community reacted to it.
Tell us a little bit about what it, you know, the scope of it, the scale of it. What can you tell radio listeners about the art piece itself and why it was selected?
The art piece itself was selected because of the longevity that the piece would have. Jared Kapp is known for building amazing outdoor structures that will stand the test of time. And the base sculpture is going to be about an 8-foot by 8-foot by 5-foot high local boulder. Out of the center of that is going to be a 14-foot tall kind of chimney made out of metal. And then he has historic saw blades wrapping around the top of that. Around the outside of the sculpture, we're going to do some custom copper inlaid medallions, which will be the sponsorships, the people that have sponsored the project's names and donor names and things on that. And the coolest part about it is that underneath the entire sculpture is a propane tank. So the element of fire has been included in this. So during certain festivities, we're actually going to light it in a huge flame shoots to the top of it, and we're going to use that flame to light our torch every year for the burning beetle.
Of course you are. Of course.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You mentioned, Crystal, really a community coming together in response. Tell me a little bit about some of those conversations about that community togetherness. Like what needs to be preserved? What do people need to remember about that time?
You know, I think over the last decade, this pine beetle infestation in Custer and of course the surrounding area and the region, it took a toll on our land. A lot of us were worried about the effects it would have on tourism, things like that. And, you know, we all kind of sat around a few years ago and said, what can we do? You know, what can we do to make this better for us How can we emotionally get through this? And our response with Burning Beetle was through art and through community. So Burning Beetle started out as this cool little festival in a coffee shop that people would write poems and perform them. And it's grown into this huge thing. And it's just, you know, it's education on forest management, what we can do. We can't necessarily prevent a beetle infestation in the future, but we can figure out a way to make it work and still make our community viable.
Right.
And it's about the importance of art in our community.
Chris, I don't think there's any community that's quite like Custer. The more time I spend there, the more I'm like, well, that's interesting. That seems uniquely Custer. And now the Custer Beacon is here, and I stopped by not too long ago and walked around inside. And I don't know that people understand, and I wasn't able to see an event there, but the scale of that facility as well and the kinds of events that you're having there. Tell us a little bit about the Custer Beacon and how it fits into this community that is Custer right now.
Oh my gosh. The Custer Beacon is, you know, it's a project that I decided to get involved with simply because of the vision. You know, it's very unique, like you said, unique to Custer and unique represents us. So I think of Custer, we're this tiny little town in the hills and we're kind of far away from everything. Yet lately, the people in this town have come together to make some remarkable things happen. And so the Beacon, which, you know, it's a fitting name for what we want to bring to life in the community of Custer. It's an old mining warehouse that's been converted to an event space and music venue. And, you know, I think we're the premier music venue in the Black Hills. We can hold several hundred people, and it's a big open space, but it's got a rustic feel. We've got couches. We have tables and chairs, and it's got a really homey feeling. You know, it certainly doesn't have the, you know, rows of seats that you sit in and, you know, oh, find your seat, G15. You know, it's not quite like that for concerts, right? But we think of ourselves as Custer's community or Custer's home stage. In that regard, when people in the community have an idea, we're here to empower that. And we, you know, this is our first season as the remodeled Beacon. You know, we were open last summer as kind of a trial, but after the remodel, you know, this is our first season. And we've just found just unbelievable things. People are coming to us saying, you know, hey, you know, we had a well-known community member that passed away. His friends and family came and said, we want the celebration of life to be at the Custer Beacon. Because the Custer Beacon, it's a space for the community. And we had 400 people here.
Wow.
And we had firefighters and Forest Service employees. And we had a potluck. People brought in food and laid it all out on the side. And it became a community event. And so, you know, really that's kind of missing in a lot of towns. Well, here in Custer, it's interesting how the Beacon is able to achieve that by actually being a cool, modern, happening space.
Right.
So, yeah, every town has a community center, but who wants to go to a community center and stand under a bunch of fluorescent lights and, you know, stand around awkwardly on a basketball court, you know? But, yeah. This was, intentionally built to be warm, welcoming, inviting, and express the ideas that come forth in our community. Like, what do you want? What do you want to see happen?
Yeah. And this is a town that, you know, if you go different times during the year, you know, it is a huge visitor destination and becoming bigger as a visitor destination. But yet there is this vibrant, thriving community of residents that have their own voices and their own vision and are making, you know, there's nothing that seems like a tourist town that's been vacated. It's this really cool thrumming underneath. You have a climbing store now, too, don't you, Chris?
We do, yeah. Yeah, we got a couple outdoor stores, one climbing specific, and the South Dakota Outdoor Shop. You know, another thing, a way that we're expressing that this Sunday, part of the Vigilance fundraiser is something called the Great Experiences Raffle.
Okay.
And to me, all these people that you're talking about in our community that do all these unique things, as I've said, I think Custer... it's a place where people are not afraid to do unique things and be themselves. And so that's being represented this Sunday. There's going to be a raffle for a variety of experiences with all these people. Like, I'm actually raffling off a cave trip.
Nice.
There's people raffling out a hot air balloon trip from Black Hills Balloons. And so we have all these experiences being raffled as part of the fundraiser for Vigilance. So, yeah, if you come down, you know, you'll get a firsthand taste of, you know, hanging out with some of the unique people in Custer and doing what they do.
All right. And the music's going to be just outstanding with the JAS Quintet and Jamie Lynn starting at 4, but everything kicks off Sunday at noon at the Custer Beacon for the Vigilance fundraiser. Chris and Crystal, thank you so much for being here with us with an update. We really appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Lori. Thanks for having us on.